Thank you for listening to the Guadalupe Radio Network, and howdy, howdy, Houston. Welcome into Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I am the host of this program and the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. Again, thank you so much for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you for listening to this program. We're extraordinarily blessed to live in an area where we have a rich Catholic community. As I mentioned, this is Catholic Lunch Break, and it is March the 30th in the year of our Lord 2026. It is Holy Monday. Of course, Holy Week is the most important week in Catholicism. This is a week of great reverence and reflection from Palm Sunday, which was this past Sunday, all the way up to Easter Sunday. It is absolutely incredible how much wisdom, insight, and inspiration are available during this week in particular. This past weekend, as I mentioned, we marked Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Today, Holy Monday, is when the church remembers Jesus' cleansing of the temple. It is said Jesus formed a whip and casted the money sellers and merchants out of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Here's what's on the program for today. Father Richard McNeely, the Vocations Director of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston, is here in the studio to tell us all about one of the biggest Catholic events of the year, the annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game. We're also looking forward to broadcasting the big game, which is on Friday evening, April 17th. So we'll talk with Father Richard about the role of the game in supporting our local priests and the work that he and his team does in general in the office of vocations. Plus, supporting Catholic education. We'll talk with the founding principal of Frassati Catholic High School, Sister John Paul, about the incredible growth of Frassati and ask her about her own congregation, the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. Finally on the program, a friend is back, Stephanie Aquila. Stephanie heads the communication at Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Midtown, where they and other churches in the Houston area are gearing up for a night of prayer coming up on Holy Thursday. So Stephanie will tell us all about a tradition in the church called the Seven Churches Visitation and more on how you can join their group in visiting seven churches Thursday night right in Houston to pray. Before we do all that, though, speaking of prayer, we want to begin this program, as we always do, in prayer. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. St. Joseph, head of the Holy Family, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Many are praying for the intentions of Archbishop Joe Vasquez. It was a little over a year ago that Archbishop Vasquez was installed as the third Archbishop of Galveston, Houston. The Archdiocese put out a statement last Wednesday, March 25th, saying, quote, "We give thanks to God for his faithful service, spiritual leadership, and unwavering dedication to the people of God." In his inaugural message last year, Archbishop Vasquez emphasized his commitment to serving the diverse 10-county archdiocese with his whole heart and strengthening the local faith community. A big thank you to everyone for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network Spring Share-a-thon last week. Many across the country helped us with our first share-a-thon of the new year. It's thanks to you in any capacity, praying, pledging, and promoting, that we're able to help keep Guadalupe Radio Network broadcasting authentic Catholic programs in 48 different radio stations. So thanks to you, and all as well as all of our KSHJ volunteers, in particular here in Houston, who had answered phone calls last Tuesday. So it takes support from all of us to keep this ministry going. Everyone helped out in many different capacities. Also, a special shout out to my colleagues here in the Houston office, Zach, Tim, David, and Jax. If you have a love for sacred art, mark your calendar for Saturday, April 11th. Sacred Art Live will be held on the campus of Cathedral High School in Houston. Sacred Art Live seeks to showcase art from living artists and give the public the opportunity to view and purchase original works, as well as prints and merchandise that are testaments to what is good, true, and beautiful. Registration is required, so you need to choose between two different times to attend. Now, for all the details on that, it's called Sacred Art Live. You can visit Cathedral High School's website. It's cathedral-hs.org, and you click on events. Again, it's cathedral-hs.org, and look for Sacred Art Live under events. I, in particular, will be there during the noon hour on the campus of Cathedral High School, interviewing Catholic artists live on the air to talk about how their faith inspires their work. So, if you tune into this radio station, AM 1430, KSHJ, you can listen live during the noon hour, Saturday, April 11th. Fullness of Truth is hosting its Summer Catholic Family Conference, June the 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Ball, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and lots of family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org. Fullness of Truth is a underwriter of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Tickets are on sale for the 9th Annual Priests vs. Seminarians basketball game. The annual game raises money for seminarians in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. This year, as I mentioned before, the game is set for Friday, April 17th at Rice University. Tickets can be purchased through the Houston Vocations website, HoustonVocations.com. The games are always a lot of fun. We at KSHJ plan to broadcast the game once again here on AM 1430. My thanks to my colleague David Magianis. David is spearheading our efforts to broadcast the game that evening, Friday, April 17th. So if you can't make it in person, you can always listen right here on KSHJ. And one of the many who are helping organize that event is Father Richard McNeely. So we invited Father Richard here to KSHJ to tell us more about the big game and his work to promote holy vocations. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network is Father Richard McNeely. He is the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. Father Richard, welcome back to the KSHJ studio. Always glad to have you here.
Thank you, Wyatt. It's good to be back.
We've got a big Priests versus Seminarians basketball game coming up April 17th, and it's back at Rice University. What year are we in terms of the Priest Seminarians basketball game at this point?
Yeah, it's hard to keep track, but it's the 9th year. And
wow.
Father Preston and Father TJ are still playing. They'll still be there. They are the veterans of that priest squad.
And it started, what, just as sort of a fun idea as a basketball game, and now it's kind of become almost a staple here in Houston.
Yeah, I have no idea how they keep going, how the basketball players keep going, but it's a great Catholic event, and we're so glad to have it back. You never know how long these things will go. We hope that no one gets injured, but you know, as long as they can, I think these guys would love to something of put on a show, but at least have a great game and have a good Catholic event.
Very good. Well, we'll definitely be praying for the health of all of our priests for seminarians praying in the game. If you remember, Father Preston Quintella, who you'd mentioned, got injured his arm. Luckily, he's much better now, but that was kind of a scary moment in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no one knew exactly what was wrong. He, I think he dislocated an elbow, which is pretty painful. But apparently, once you pop it back in, he was like, you know, mowing the lawn the next day or something like that.
So. And knowing Father Preston, he wanted to get right back at it at his parish. So he's always very active. So I always give a lot of credit to those priests for, like I said, coming year after year and participating as well. Tell me about the seminarians. So are these seminarians you guys draw from here in Houston, St. Mary's Seminary, or regionally? Where do they come from?
They really are they're the seminarians that study at St. Mary's Seminary.
Okay.
That is a regional seminary, so there are guys from Austin, and there's actually one of our best team players is Brian McNaughton from Austin. I think he's the point guard of the team. A lot of them are from Houston seminarians, soon to be Houston priests, God willing. We once brought in a guy who was actually, he's a Houston seminarian, but he was attending Holy Trinity Seminary. His name was Tim Spute, Okay. And he was so good, the priest have banned him from coming again. He also went to the North American College. He's studying in Rome.
Okay, very good.
So I don't know if that was like exile. Maybe he'll come back one day to play in this game. We'll see.
A holy anomaly, if you will, in terms of basketball.
Right.
That's pretty funny. Well, it's always a lot of fun. You know, this game in particular draws a lot of families from across the greater Houston area. People want to come out and support their priests and seminarians. And again, it's continued to grow year after year. And you guys are always looking at venues just because often these sell out well in advance. Tell me about the purpose of the Priest versus Seminarians basketball game. How does that tie in to the work that you're doing with the Office of Vocations?
Sure. You know, I was talking to a priest the other day because it does kind of elevate like an awareness of the priesthood. It helps mm-hmm. people see the priesthood in a slightly different light. Priests can be fun. They can have fun. Mm-hmm. And they can play sports and do things, you know, just as everybody else. But one of the things the priests tell me is that they love this game because it builds priestly fraternity. Those priests who are playing on the team get together at least once a week, if not more, to practice. They actually get up. I mean, I think they're practicing like at 5 a.m. in like UST's gym or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of time in their busy priestly lives, but they're making time for priestly fraternity. And I think that's been really good for them. And so I know that they've loved this game just for that alone.
And I think that's really important to take note of, especially in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, because we're so massive. We've got parishes all over. And these priests, while they may have gone to seminary together, they may have known each other for many years, they don't often see each other on a regular basis. If Father TJ's out in Kingwood, Preston's out in Sweeney,
West Columbia,
these guys don't see each other very often, except if they get together for practice or other related events like that.
Yeah, no, it's right. Gathering these priests from the far corners of the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. is actually a monumental task, almost like having this game. But they really appreciate it. Those priests, I think, want to be together. It's something that, I don't know, people kind of stereotype diocesan priests sometimes as like lone rangers or people who don't have community. We do have community. We have the parish for one, but we mm-hmm. also have priestly fraternity. It just takes work.
Yeah. I feel like it also builds up the seminarians as well. They get a chance to see, you know, they get a chance to have some fraternity as well, but then also be able to kind of relate with the priests who are current priests because they're going to be, you know, eventually working with them as well.
Yeah, I think it's an event for them to see, look forward to, you know, what could come.
Yeah, very good. And so then the seminarians, remind me, they come for, right, first of all, how long does someone's in the seminary? How many years approximately? And I'm guessing then the seminarians who participate in the game are any of the years as a seminarian.
Well, they tend to be in the later years. Mm-hmm. So because if you're going to college as a seminarian, you'll uh-huh. actually go somewhere else. Our relationship at St. Mary's Seminary, we get all of our classes through the University of St. Thomas. Very grateful for that. But we actually don't get college degrees usually from UST. We usually get graduate degrees in theology. And so we send our guys to college in Dallas, to Holy Trinity Seminary with the University of Dallas, and we send them to several Benedictine monasteries throughout the United States where they get a college degree there as well from a college run by monks. So.
Well, I was going to say, that just sounds like a good life experience as well, that they get to go to a different place in the United States.
Yeah, we want to diversify and have them experience, like you said, different cultures, different kind of theological schools, maybe you could say.
Yeah. So then remind me that in total, seminarians are what, in seminary, 8 years or?
It varies. Uh-huh. Basically,
if they have an education or whatever,
yeah, you know. Some of that will get cut off. But also if they do a pastoral year or if they do a propedeutic year, or if they do this vocation synthesis, which we haven't quite implemented yet, but the Holy See has asked American diocese to kind of eventually in the next few years kind of work this in. So it could be 7 up to maybe 10 years. somewhere between 7 and 10 years.
Yeah, very good. So I want to ask you, for this Priest for Seminaries basketball game, if it's helped at all in getting young men to think about the priesthood. Again, the game's now been around 9 years. Have you ever been approached by someone who's maybe attended a game and said, wow, this may be something that I want to pursue?
So I've never had, I think there have been some discerners who've joked about playing on this team, but I've never really had somebody say, like, I think I have a priestly vocation because when I saw this game, I really wanted to be on it.
Maybe not, but maybe they see and they talk to a priest after the game, or they chit-chat with the seminarian, and it kind of starts to build something, I would think.
I think you're right. Like, there's a kind of seed that's planted there in the sense that they're looking at priesthood now as maybe a possibility, whereas before it was kind of off the radar or maybe not cool enough to even be, you know, something that they could want for their life. So I'm really grateful that we can begin to help our young Catholics to see priesthood as an option. I think that's part of building a culture of vocations, which everybody in the Archdiocese is trying to do.
So. Very good. So if people want to purchase tickets for the Priest for Seminaries basketball game, which helps raise money for the Office of Vocations and the work that you do, they can go to the website. It's HoustonVocations.com. I was on the website, and I saw right at the top of the homepage, you got the information on purchasing tickets.
That's right.
So, again, HoustonVocations.com. Then, again, that's part of the work that you do with the Office of Vocations. But tell me in general about that office in particular, Father Richard. What kind of – you have a staff there. What kind of work do you guys do on the regular basis?
Yeah, believe it or not, the priest versus seminarians game is not our biggest task, or even in some ways the most important thing that we do. Mm-hmm. Right now we're in the middle of application season, so we're trying to decide out of all the applicants that we have applying this year, you know, who God is calling or who is ready to be in the seminary. So not necessarily, you know – we know that not all these applicants, when they get into seminary, will go on to be a priest, but we want them to discern, to also allow God to transform their hearts so they can become a better man. And through that process, it becomes pretty much clear in the first few years, you know, who's called to be a priest or not. But we're just trying to decide who gets to go to seminary or not. I looked at this. I think I read like 1,500 pages of application material every year, or at least this year. Yeah, and that's just a part of my job. I have to arrange a lot of other things. We have a lot of events that are for discernment, more like intentionally discerning. So we just had a series of Andrew dinners, which are throughout the Archdiocese. You know, you can find it on our website and under our events page. It's for high school guys. There's a Marian dinner that's for girls in high school. And we're just trying to help these people just get a vision of like what it's like to be a priest through a dialogue, usually over a meal. We do stuff like that all the time throughout the Archdiocese. We interact a lot with parishes trying to help them promote vocations, because this is really something we want you to encounter at your parish level. It's not just an archdiocesan thing. It's all over. Every parish needs priests. And we know that your parishioners at every parish, some of them are called to be priests and sisters and things like that. So we're just trying to find the right people to give this message of discern your vocation to.
It seems to me that even being able to ask young men, young women the question, have you ever thought about a vocation, is powerful in and of itself. Because often, you know, young men, young women aren't even asked that question. It doesn't even approach their mind. And I know you're kind of alluding to that just having some of these events like Andrew Dinner helps them just to think about it, whereas before it wouldn't be even in their frame of mind.
Yeah, it's funny. That question does the work itself. So when you say, have you ever thought about being a priest? And they say no. I mean, there's this awkward irony that, well, you're thinking about it now.
Right.
So I guess the answer is yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of supposed to be awkward because they need to take a moment and be like, oh,
yeah,
I've never really thought about what would that life be like.
And even if they say no, now they are thinking about it. And it's so good. I think regardless of what the call is, it's just good that every young man and who's Catholic, thinks about the possibility of being called to the priesthood, and that every young woman, you know, who's Catholic, thinks about the possibility of being called to be a sister or mm-hmm. or a nun. That kind of openness and imagination is just part of the healthy Catholic life.
Yeah. God bless the work that you do. Remind me the website again. It's HoustonVocations.com. But when people go there, Father Richard, what type of information will they find?
Yeah, they'll find a lot of information about discernment. But mm-hmm. at the top, as you said, is the banner that talks about where to purchase basketball tickets.
Yeah.
And there's an events tab. And there they'll see all of our events that are upcoming that, you know, their kids or their grandkids can attend. And please, yeah. you know, attend an event. It'd be great.
Very good. So, again, that's HoustonVocations.com. And, again, the game itself is going to be on Friday, April 17th. People can, of course, buy tickets for the game. If they can't, want to thank you also, Father Richard, for partnering with us. We're going to be broadcasting the game once again on our radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. We appreciate all the priests like Father Preston, Father TJ working with us because over the years we've been trying to up our game when it comes to the broadcast. We've, of course, broadcast the audio. We're adding the video element as well via some of our volunteers online. And so we're going to be working to stream that on our YouTube page as well. So it's a very exciting time, I think, for all of us as we improve this game. I was going to say, have you got calls from other people asking about how successful this game has been?
You mean like who's going to win or?
Well, I ask, yeah, but I was going to say if other people around the country have been asking about it.
Sometimes I think they tune in. They might actually be watching your radio, online broadcast or listening because they are interested. They've heard little clips or seen things they do sometimes ask.
Well, you brought it up, Father Richard. Who's going to win this game?
I'm going to put my money on the priest. I always root for the seminarians because I'm sort of like their manager in a distant way. But I don't know. This year, even they're kind of a little worried that those priests, there are some good ones coming out of retirement. I hear Father Houston's coming.
Oh,
back.
Really?
He used to be the MVP maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I'm guessing that the priests are going to bring in a ringer, just like we tried last year with Tim Spute. So.
Okay, very good. Well, we will pray for the game to be a success, good sportsmanship, and pray no one gets injured. Luckily, Father Preston healed very quickly.
But, amen.
pray it will be another great game. Again, Father Richard McNeely, Vocations Director of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. Always great to have you here in the studio, sir.
Thank you, Wyatt. It's good to be here.
We are going to take a quick break, but we will highlight Frassati Catholic High School in spring when we come back. Their principal, Sister John Paul, will tell us about the school's history, recent groundbreaking on a new academic building, and about her congregation, the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
Hi, Guadalupe Radio Network families. This is Ruben Rendon, attorney of Rendon & Associates. We are proud sponsors of this local Catholic radio station, AM 1430. Rendon & Associates are worker injury lawyers who are dedicated to protecting workers' rights in Houston. We provide help with workplace injury cases and can assist with understanding worker injury law. Learn more at RubenRendon.com. That's RubenRendon.com.
Cathedral High School invites you to Sacred Art Live. Mark your calendar for Saturday, April 11th, as faith-filled artists from across the country will bring their best creations to Houston. Sacred Art Live gives the public a chance to browse original works, prints, and merchandise that reflect what is good, true, and beautiful. Local students from Cathedral High School and Holy House Academy will also show off their original art pieces. For all the details, visit Cathedral High School's website and look for Sacred Art Live under events.
Dozens of Catholic women from across the greater Houston area will soon gather for a one-day retreat, and you're invited. Registration is now open for the Houston Catholic Women's Conference. The date is Saturday, March 21st, and the conference will be held at St. Michael the Archangel in the Galleria area. If you are a woman looking to grow in your relationship with God, we would love to have you at the Houston Catholic Women's Conference. Their website is HoustonCWC.net. That's Saturday, March 21st, HoustonCWC.net.
You're invited to a night of dinner, drinks, and dancing, all in support of Catholic education. The Sugar Creek Country Club will be the place to be Saturday, April 11th for the Griffin Masquerade Ball, Gala, and Auction. The fancy evening is hosted by St. Teresa Catholic School in Sugarland. The money raised helps to provide a quality Catholic education for students. Tickets, tables, and underwriting opportunities are available. The details are on their website. Visit stteresacatholicschool.org and click on Events. That's stteresacatholicschool.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee with you, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. We love talking with our religious sisters who are here in the greater Houston area. There are so many that help build up the church community, and many of them are involved in Catholic education. That's true of our next guest, who is the founding principal of Frassati Catholic High School, a Catholic college prep in the Spring area. The school has seen lots of growth since it was founded just a little over a decade ago. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network is the founding principal of Frassati Catholic High School in the Spring area. It is Sister John Paul. Sister John Paul is a member of the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, and it is an honor for us to have her for the very first time in the KSHJ studio. Sister John Paul, welcome in. Thanks so much for being here in the Guadalupe Radio Network studio in Houston.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I want to ask you all about Frassati Catholic High School, which is now in its 13th academic year. And there's been a lot going on, including a groundbreaking for a new academic building back in January. But first, set the stage for me. Frassati is a fairly new Catholic high school in the greater Houston area. Only, like I mentioned, 13th academic year. How did this happen? How did this all come about?
By God's grace and a miracle.
I'm
is
sure.
What I would say. And a lot of wonderful people who were really docile to the call of the Holy Spirit to found a Catholic high school on the north side of Houston. Mm-hmm. So in 2007, a group of men and women got together with that goal exactly, to found a Catholic high school on the north side of Houston, because so many of the elementary school graduates were not actually going to Catholic high school. Some did, but they had a far trek.
And it's a growing area.
Correct.
Yeah. And there wasn't.
And the schools were growing. The elementary schools were growing, too. So in 2007, they got together, and step by step, they ultimately were able to purchase land, get the approval of Cardinal DiNardo at the time, and they connected with our congregation in 2010, and we agreed to support them in the endeavor and to join them and to help them start the school. So in 2011, three sisters came to Spring, Texas to establish a convent, Frassati Convent, and also to help the board at the time to build the high school, plan it and build it.
And I'm guessing that must have come with a lot of prayer on the Dominican sisters' part, because my understanding is that what your congregation is based out of, what, Nashville?
Correct, yes, okay. Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. So to come all the way to the Spring area of Texas must come with a lot of prayer, a lot of trust in God's providence.
Yes, and I think at the time it was seen as kind of an amazing opportunity for the sisters to partner with these people of North Houston who really wanted an authentic Catholic high school and to be able to work with them and start something from scratch. So it was a great opportunity for us, actually.
And so when did you come on board as the founding principal? Was it right there close to the beginning?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 2011 is when I was officially assigned to serve as principal.
And so then the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, do they have a background, especially with Catholic education, promoting Catholic education?
Yes. So our congregation was founded in 1860 and was founded because the Dominican Bishop of Nashville at the time invited the sisters from Ohio, Dominican sisters from Ohio in Somerset, to come and help establish a boarding school for girls, sort of a refining school. And four sisters came and founded not only the school, St. Cecilia Academy, but the congregation of St. Cecilia as well. So we've been in education since the founding in 1860. So, and it is our primary apostolate. All of our sisters are educated to be educators and to serve in the education apostolate.
Very good. Well, it does seem like God has gone to work with Frassati Catholic High School and the work that the sisters have done, and all of the volunteers and other staff members, because the school continues to grow. You mentioned you were on board right from the very beginning. Tell me how many students were there at the first class, and how many are we at this point?
Yeah, miraculously, even at the time, in the 2013-14 school year, we had 46 freshmen. Mm-hmm. So after a long discernment, we started with just freshmen.
Okay.
And today we have 350 students.
Yeah.
So it's been incredible growth in a very short amount of time, which comes with all of the blessings and all of the challenges to meet the needs of the growing population.
What has that been like for you? Just an observation, just thinking beginning of it, just seeing kind of the land, the area, and then where we're at right now.
Yeah, and so many different ways to look at it. But to see God at work up close like this is kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's also just a thrill to see all of the people that have come together. So the families, mm-hmm. the students, the faculty and staff, the board members, the benefactors. It's just really built a community around Frassati Catholic that has happened very quickly and mm-hmm. has been immensely blessed.
Yeah, well, I said, definitely appears the need for it because there are so many people, and then I'm sure more people are inquiring about it, probably across the greater Houston area, probably not just on the north side, right?
This is true,
yeah.
Yes.
So tell me then, speaking of growth at Frassati, tell me about this new academic building. In January, you guys broke ground on this, and it's named in honor of St. Anthony of Padua.
Yes. So our capital campaign for this new building is called Building Saints Capital Campaign. And so the idea is that that's what we're trying to do as a Catholic school, is to think primarily about the souls of our young people and to help them become the men and women that God desires them to be, and that they would eventually be saints. Mm-hmm. And so the Building Saints Capital Campaign launched in February of 2025, and we have been very grateful for the success of the campaign, and we're able to break ground, as you said, in January. Mm-hmm. It's a 25,000 square foot building. We'll have 3 science labs, 7 classrooms, and a little administrative suite with some offices and a boardroom. All of it essential for our growth. So we are as full as we can be with our current facilities, more or less. And so in order to continue to grow and meet the demand that comes to us, we needed to add this building.
In an ideal world, just thinking about it, is there a certain limit to the number of students that you would like to have?
Well, what we generally say in answer to that question is whoever wants the Catholic education that we are trying to offer, we want to serve.
Okay.
So we're trying to let God drive that mm-hmm. decision.
Yeah, very good. So tell me about then, Sister John Paul, about the value of Catholic education. Like I say, it means so much to the Dominican sisters, to you, to everyone, the faculty and staff there. What is it about specifically a Catholic education that's so important? I mean, like I said, it's driven the efforts to build Frassati Catholic High School, to build it up just within a little bit over a decade. What is it that stands out for you about Catholic education?
Yeah, I think there's so many things that could be said, but what stands out to me is really the human person is body and soul and is rarely in our current culture treated that way. Either we emphasize the soul or we emphasize the body, and we rarely also emphasize the eternal life or what's after this life. And so the integration of body and soul for us means that our program is certainly academic. They're certainly going to study and learn, but it's also about growth in virtue. It's also about understanding the human person and understanding themselves and how their emotions work and how their intellect and their will and how all those parts of us work together so that they can have a truly happy life here, now, but also for eternity. So I think Catholic education has this great privilege of being able to serve the whole human person.
How does that tie into the phrase that I saw associated with Frassati, School of Beatitudes?
Well, our patron just canonized in September, St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. St. John Paul II, when he beatified him in 1990, mm-hmm. gave him that title, the Man of the Eight Beatitudes. And so that's very near and dear to our hearts, because we want to be that. We want to be a school of the Beatitudes, where this idea of the flourishing of the human person is affected.
I'm guessing for everyone at the school, it was a special time last year when it was actually canonized.
Yes. Very special. We had a big lock-in overnight. We watched it live at 3 in the morning, and great cheers went up, and we just really have been continuing to celebrate. I don't think any of us really thought we'd see it happen.
So again, for people who are unfamiliar then with St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, tell me a little bit about him.
He's extraordinary in his simplicity.
Okay.
So he was born in 1901 in Turin, Italy, and kind of an ordinary young man. His family was wealthy. His father ran La Stampa newspaper and was also an ambassador to Germany for Italy. And so, a well-known and wealthy family. His mom was an artist. He has a sister who wrote lots of books about him, and so we get to know about Pier Giorgio really from his sister Luciana.
Mm-hmm.
But Pier Giorgio, he wasn't a great student, but he wanted to study well for the sake of serving others. And so in his college days, he was studying mining engineering. By all accounts, he did not have an engineering mind, but he wanted to help them because they had a very difficult circumstance. At the time Turin was industrializing, and so they had a very difficult situation, and they weren't respected really as persons. And so he wanted to make a difference. He also, he prayed the rosary daily. He went to mass, if not daily, frequently. He went to adoration frequently. He had a great group of friends. The group of friends, they even gave themselves a title and a rule to live by, the Tipiloski, which loosely translated is the sinister ones. So they played practical jokes on one another, tried to be good friends to one another.
God has a sense of humor, of course.
He does, of course. And so does Pier Giorgio.
Yes.
And then he just had this great heart for the poor. And he served in the slums of Turin. And that's ultimately how he died. He contracted polio and died in 1925 at the young age of 24 years old, probably contracting it from working in the slums. And he would take the people there food and clothing and medicine. And the last thing he did before he died was ask to make sure that medicine was given to one of the people he had been serving.
Wow. Really emptying of himself.
Yes.
Though. Wow. It's amazing. It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Certainly a great example for young men and women about just being devoted to God.
Yes.
And having that desire to follow God. And just like I said, pray on a regular basis. Eucharistic adoration is important, all these things. So going back for a second, because like I'd mentioned before, he was canonized in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So when you guys were starting the school, he was blessed.
Yes.
So what's that like starting a school? Because usually when I think of Catholic schools, they're already well-established saints, right? So when you were starting the school, it's someone who's likely going to be canonized in the future, but a blessed. Does that make sort of a weird dynamic in trying to explain to people that's not technically a saint? Yeah, at that point?
It was comical.
Okay.
Because his name was butchered in every manner of way.
People trying to pronounce Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Okay. Was apparently.
Did I get it right, by the way?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
yeah, so, but it was a beautiful opportunity to teach people about him. He's a Dominican, so he's a third, a lay Dominican.
Okay.
At the time, he would have been called a third order Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we knew him, and that's sort of how his name rose to the board to maybe investigate him and see if he would be a good patron for the school. And it was a journey to explain who he is or what Frassati meant to people. But his life, once you get to know his life story a little bit, I think most people kind of think, wow, what a great saint for a high school.
Yeah. And so, thanks for clarifying the Dominican connection there. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
I love that. So speaking of your congregation, Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia,
yes.
Sister John Paul, tell me about your own vocation story. We love to promote vocations here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. Did you always think from young age that you might be called to be a religious sister, or is that something that came later in life?
No. Yeah, much later.
Okay.
I'm probably on the list of least likely to have pursued a religious vocation okay. in my younger years. I came out of a family. I didn't really practice the faith until I was later in high school. And then the first time I remember hearing a little whisper from the Lord about being a sister, about being his bride, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't really know sisters. I hadn't seen sisters. And so over a few years' time, I came to understand religious life a little bit better and came to meet some sisters and then was able to kind of open my heart more to that call and then eventually respond.
What was it that it was attractive to you about the Dominican sisters in particular? Was it the community? Was it strong academic background? What was it?
Yeah, the community, the way the sisters live religious life. Mm-hmm. And when I came to visit, what really sealed the deal is the sisters were so normal and they were so happy.
Okay.
And that really was attractive to me. And just the way we live religious life, we have a lot of monastic customs to our life. And so all of that together was really, really pulled on my heart.
Yeah, very good. So for young women who might be considering, a religious vocation, what would be your advice to them?
Well, obviously pray. Pray is first. But, the world of the internet, you can do a lot of research and reaching out to learn more and to visit convents. And usually talking to a spiritual director is a good idea early on to know, how to understand what might be happening in your heart. Mm-hmm. And then visiting and talking to sisters themselves, or one of our sisters is our vocation directress, and she talks to a lot of young women and helps them kind of know what their next steps are if they're discerning.
Yeah. Obviously, you're the principal, Sister John Paul, but you also mentioned that you're a teacher. What do you teach? What do you like to teach?
Well, I currently am not teaching because the principal job is quite
full. Yeah, I'm sure.
But I love to teach history and religion or theology.
Yeah.
Those are my primary subjects before becoming an administrator.
It seems like, having all those strong academic subjects, history, theology, it sets a firm foundation for the students for the rest of their lives. Tell me about the value of just that.
Yes. They have to know where they came from intellectually. And so that's part of what we try to give them. But it just allows them to be critical consumers of the culture or of anything, really, that they can think. And that's really probably one of the primary things we want to do is to help the students learn how to think. And that happens across all subject matters.
Yeah, very good. Well, congratulations on all the success in the growth of Frassati Catholic High School over these last 13 years or so. I'm glad to hear about, have you seen the growth from being there from the very beginning, and glad to see that God is going to work in the community. I know there's a lot more, Sister John Paul, we could talk about in terms of Frassati, so we'll continue to let people know and update people about stuff that's going on at Frassati. Like I said, we had mentioned the groundbreaking in January. Lots of stuff going on, so we appreciate your time being here, telling us about the school, about Patron Saint. It really is a blessing to have you here. For people who want to learn more about Frassati Catholic High School, tell me the website, what they can do.
They can just reach out to us at frassaticatholic.org or give us a call.
Okay. So Frassati Catholic.
One word.
.org. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Sister John Paul, founding principal, Frassati Catholic High School in the Spring area. Thanks so much for being with us here in the studio. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, Stephanie Aquila will tell us about a Holy Thursday tradition and how you can join a group of local Catholics visiting 7 nearby churches to pray Thursday night. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
Living a life of holiness is not something that happens by accident. Join me, Zach Allen, General Manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, as we enter this course titled Holy Habits, Building a Life of Holiness One Moment at a Time. If we are intentional with the things we do, we can day by day grow in holiness and get closer to Christ. Please join me. Find more information at grnonline.com/academy. Courses begin the week of April 13th. Sign up today.
Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004.
If you are pregnant or worried you might be pregnant and don't know where to turn, we want to help. At Loving Choice Catholic Pregnancy Help Center, we offer free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. And most importantly, the caring volunteers at Loving Choice will listen to you and provide compassionate options to help put you at ease. You are not alone. We are here for you every step of this journey. For more information, visit loving-choice.org. That's loving-choice.org.
Healthcare professionals and those interested in medical ethics will converge on Saturday, April 11th in Houston. The St. John Paul II Foundation is hosting its Converging Roads Conference. Speakers will provide insight on how we, as people of faith, can best address moral and ethical problems in the healthcare field today. The conference will be held at St. Michael the Archangel in the Galleria. Registration is available online at forlifeandfamily.org, or you can look up Converging Roads, hosted by the St. John Paul II Foundation. Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we talk about all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I'm the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. This Holy Week is full of traditions that trace right back to the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming up this Thursday evening, Holy Thursday, is an opportunity in Houston to join a group in visiting seven different churches for a night of prayer. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network to talk more about the Seven Churches tradition is Stephanie Aquila. Stephanie is the Director of Marketing, Communication, and Events at Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Midtown Houston. Stephanie, welcome back to KSHJ Studio. Always nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's a joy.
So tell me, there are a lot of traditions in Holy Week that are associated with our Catholic faith. Not necessarily everyone may be familiar with the Seven Churches visitation or Seven Churches tradition. Start off, Stephanie, tell me a little about this particular tradition that's associated, my understanding, with Holy Thursday.
Yes. So this was started by St. Philip Neri, who wanted to keep watch with Christ. Of course, his command to for us to not fall asleep, for us to be with him through the night. And St. Philip Neri had this great idea to keep us incarnational, right? To keep us moving. And so he went from church to church, keeping watch with Christ. That's why it's also called Night Watch. Okay. And friends followed along with him from parish to parish, sitting in adoration and praying and just keeping vigil.
So that makes sense, because Holy Thursday, that's when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane,
right?
Asked his disciples to keep watch with him. So in the tradition of us following Christ as his disciples, we want to have the night watch as well. So you guys at Holy Rosary and some of the churches in downtown Midtown Houston are organizing this kind of Seven Churches tradition. You've been doing it for several years now. Tell me about how that works. You're kind of going from church to church?
Yeah. So basically, you know, I've been doing this since college, and I realized that it was at times a little bit difficult to know where's the second altar going to be, the altar of repose. So, you know, we're moving him from the main altar to another altar, and then we're also traveling at night, and we're in downtown Houston. My, you know, questions of just like, where is Jesus going to be, and what parishes are having adoration, and what times? And so I thought it would be so convenient if there was a guide, right? Because there's so many people participating in this. And so I decided to make one back in 2022 when I was at the co-cathedral, that we would just, of course, the tradition's open for everybody, right? It's everybody's, you know, it's everybody's Holy Thursday. But could we get some parishes to participate in letting us list them and getting their details? And then we could all share it with our communities and, I guess, form a little pilgrimage downtown. So when I called them, they were very open to that. And so we ended up just kind of putting together a very user-friendly map and guide as to where you could go, you know, what time adoration would end, where's Jesus going to be.
I can imagine, Stephanie, one of the benefits of that, coordinating with other nearby churches, whether it's Co-Cathedral, Holy Rosary, what Chapel of St. Basil, UST, that when they start sending out the information to their respective parishioners, you really start to get more people on board with participating in this.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, we've been doing this for a while, and there is always a peppering of people, but I think this is a tradition that wasn't always very well known. And then, you know, making it accessible is another thing for people in different seasons of life. How do I participate in this? And so once we organized this or kind of put this together, again, to make it a little more attainable, there was a huge influx of people. So if you, you know, if you travel around with us in downtown Houston on Holy Thursday, you're going to see, and I have seen over the years, a massive growth in Catholics going from parish to parish.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. So, like I said, a number of nearby churches are all participating. St. Joseph, Annunciation Catholic Church, of course, Co-Cathedral, St. Nicholas, again, Holy Rosary Chapel, St. Basil, UST, and St. Anne. You guys have listed that all on your website, Holy Rosary's website. But luckily, like I said, a number of these parishes have also posted on their respective websites as well, so people can learn more about it. Remind me, if people want to do this, is there a certain time frame that it takes to go from church to church? How do they do it if they're not familiar?
I mean, it's a lot easier to do this downtown. We tried to do it out in the Katy area one year, yeah, and we didn't make it. The parishes were too far apart. Of course, we're going after that Holy Thursday liturgy. And so you've usually got between 8 to 11:30 to hit up those, well, I guess six other ones from the one you started at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So downtown is actually the best location, general location to try this at, because you can easily get from parish to parish. Like I was saying, in the map that we give you, like the longest distance from one parish to another is maybe 8 minutes. All of them are much, much closer. So it's very feasible. But I have heard that there are other churches trying to organize this in their area of Houston, you know, where there is accessibility to other Catholic churches. You may live in an area where there's not, and, you know, mm-hmm, so you can adapt this. It's a very adaptable tradition.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's tough here in the greater Houston area where you have to drive everywhere, and it's hard to get a concentration of churches all in one area. So, yes, I can see why the midtown, downtown area of Houston is one of those places where you can do that, where you have a close enough concentration of churches. Tell me, Stephanie, in general, about the power of adoration and the importance of that for prayer. I would think in this day and age where we're so distracted with our phones, technology, there's so much out there that can take away our time and our attention, that sometimes just sitting in adoration, just some sitting in prayer in a church can be difficult. We kind of think, we start thinking about other things that we need to do, other responsibilities. Why is just being able to sit in prayer and adoration so important? And how do you begin to sort of resist that urge where you feel like, oh, I've got to be doing something else?
Yeah, I mean, adoration is definitely a contemplative form of prayer that the church knows that we need and Jesus knows that we need, mm-hmm, right? To silence ourselves, to slow ourselves down, and to really just sit and be present with him. I think oftentimes when we get in prayer, we feel like we have to be talking and we have to be doing something. But adoration is quite the reverse. It's really just letting Jesus look upon you and giving yourself the amount of time that is needed to settle. You know, sometimes we aren't very used to grounding ourselves and just kind of waiting out. I know for me personally, it's just a matter of waiting out the mental rush of the thoughts, you know, the impatience, and kind of just sitting it out until that calms and I can truly be present. But the good thing about the seven churches is it really is kind of geared with that in mind, right? That distractibility, because you are there for a brief amount of time and mm-hmm, then it's time to go, right? So it kind of orients, right, that distraction into moving to the next place to pray.
Yeah. And, you know, I can imagine it's also a bit of a challenge, I guess, spiritually, too, because if you're going from 8:30 to, what, 11:30 midnight, and you really want to keep watch, it's kind of a bit of a challenge to oneself, I would guess, spiritually, too, right?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Because, you know, Jesus in the garden commands that for mm-hmm. them to keep watch with him. He knows them. He knows us, right? And right. and our lack of ability to sometimes just be fully present with him. Yep. So this is a great opportunity. Even if you can't make it to all seven, or you can't stay up that late and you need to do it throughout the day, maybe you're not actually going to an adoration chapel, but you're just going from parish to parish and sitting in front of the tabernacle, or, you know, even at the stoop of a church door, just to say a prayer, is that answer, that fiat to, yes, Lord, I will be present with you in all the ways that I can.
I can tell it's had an impact on your life, hasn't it, being just being able to go to adoration?
Absolutely. Yeah, adoration is the thing I don't always want to do, but I know I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it has been very nurturing and fulfilling in that way.
Very good. Well, we are so blessed here in the greater Houston area to have a number of churches that are willing to cooperate on something like this, on a seven churches tradition. That's so encouraging for me to hear about how, since you helped organize this back in, what, several years back, 2022, that it's since grown and all these other churches have been on board with something like this. So again, just to reiterate, that's coming up Holy Thursday. It's a seven churches tradition. You guys have it listed on your website, Holy Rosary Catholic Church. All the details, including the list of all of the churches involved. But luckily, each of the churches also have it on their respective websites. Stephanie, remind me the URL for Holy Rosary Catholic Church.
That is holyrosarycatholic.org.
Okay, holyrosarycatholic.org. And so you guys have that under your, what, events tab?
We do. We have a Lent and Easter tab, and you can find all of the things that are going on during Holy Week, but also Lent and what we have planned for Easter, too, all in one place.
Very good. Well, like I said, you've given me the map here. I'm going to post this on our social media. I think I did so once before. We'll do it again just to remind people that this is going on. And again, hopefully, even if people can't go to this, I hope that they'll be encouraged to go to Eucharistic adoration on a regular basis.
So, absolutely.
Very good. Stephanie Aquila, again, Director of Marketing, Communications, and Events at Holy Rosary in Midtown Houston. Always great to have you here, Stephanie. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
And my thanks to all of our guests on today's program, Stephanie Aquila, Sister John Paul, Father Richard McNeely, and everyone who helped produce this program, Catholic Lunch Break. That includes my colleagues Tim Mott, Zach Allen, David Magianis, and Jax Morris. Next Monday on this program, we'll have Father Bart Reynolds on to talk all about the Easter season. God bless you this Holy Week, and thank you again for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.